blending hardcore rock, hip-hop, and electronica, Linkin Park has established a sound that is easy to identify, but hard to classify.
I don't know, whenever there's been like difficult times in my life, which there's been quite a few, I've just put the CD in and I've listened to it, and it's helped me a lot, just because, I don't know if that sounds cheesy or not, but it seriously has. I'd say that the words are like the best part of the album, and the music's like great too. That would be my reasoning for it, that I don't think there's any way that you cannot like any of the songs.
The band combines the hard-hitting rhymes of Michael Kenji Shinoda, the melodic vocals of Chester Bennington, the bone-crushing beats of Rob Borden, the vicious guitar riffs of Brad Delson, the pounding bass of Phoenix Farrell, and last but not least, Joseph Hahn's slip-sliding decks. Yeah, people, this band kicks ass.
Very strongly, very strongly. I mean, as long as, you know, every time you listen to the radio stations, and it's like if you watch MTV or VH1 or any of those music stations, just by, you know, showing their videos constantly, playing their songs on the radio over and over again, you can't help but fall into it, and you can't help but want, you know, their music, their CDs, their posters, you know, all of the above.
So how did all this happen? Where did it all begin? Well, it didn't happen overnight. These guys have done their tour of duty in other bands, but if you want a starting point, you have to go back a few years. Mike and Brad attended the same high school in Agoura. It was here that they started messing around with music and met up with drummer Rob Borden. Soon after, the guys formed their first band, Zero. This included fellow Linkin Park members Phoenix and Joe. Brad having met Phoenix at UCLA, and Mike having met Joe while studying illustration at the Pasadena Art Center.
They've been friends since they were young, and that definitely helps growing up playing together. I'm sure it contributes, you know, greatly to all of their processes. They spend so much time together, they know that they can be confined together in a tour bus for 8 to 10 months out of the year, and that they can spend 8 weeks in a recording studio, 12 hours a day together. And I'm sure, you know, starting knowing each other for so long and growing up playing together, they're very in tune with each other and how they're going to react to each other personally and musically especially.
The lead singer, I believe his name's Mike. I definitely like him, just I guess because he's the one that's like saying the words, and like that's who like you're listening to. I'm not sure who writes the songs or if they all write them together or not, but I definitely say all of them together. I've seen them also like on MTV at the awards or whatever playing, and they all like seem to like be an influence.
Everything from hip hop stuff like Black Star, The Roots, Mos Def to more electronic sounding stuff.
Elemento, Visionaries, Worth,
Ronnie Size, Aphex Twin, even like Depeche Mode.
Oh, I like the driving, the pulsing. I like motivational music, music that you can listen to and that'll pump you up, that'll get you ready for, you know, any kind of, you know, whatever you need to prepare for, whether it's a test for school or driving on the freeway, anything that's going to just, you know, get you pumped and get you ready, make you feel confident and motivated.
The guys played for fun at first before setting up their first major show at the Whiskey-A-Go-Go on Sunset Boulevard, L.A.
Our show is really energetic, and we like the kids to be as well. And so being in a standing venue is going to be great because, you know, we'll go out there and they'll freak out when we're playing and stuff, and all that stuff is really important and really fun.
Wow, the Valley, you know, the Valley's really diverse ethnically and musically. You have jazz back in these two places right here, you know, within 50 yards of this place. You have jazz bands going on and funk bands going on. The Valley had a pretty decent hardcore scene. North Hollywood is starting to have a couple more different music areas, places where you can go. The West Valley is kind of bad. Actually, they just opened up a new place maybe about 2 miles north of here. So that'll be the main competition. But I think I'm looking at the verge of a big LA music explosion, or at least some people noticing from the media, or some big bands coming out of here within the next year. Just a larger focus on what's going on here.
Yeah, I would definitely say that them being from Southern California is definitely prevalent in their sound. You can tell they're not a Hollywood band. They're a West Valley band. You can tell that for sure. They're a little more peaceful, a little more serene, but they still have that edge. They still have the California edge, if you call it that. But yeah, you can tell that their music isn't as jaded as some of the other places like that, like Hollywood or New York. But they're also not, you know, from the middle of nowhere and trying to emulate a band from one of those areas.
They must have been pretty good, because Zomba Music Publishing saw them and signed them there and then.
Well, an A&R man today, as against when I kind of became an A&R person, have changed considerably. I mean, the traditional word A&R means artist and repertoire. Back when that was originated, it was the A&R man was the person who signed the artist, found the material for the artist, found the arranger, the band leader, booked the studio, did all of that. Today, the A&R world is much different. Most acts in the contemporary field are self-contained. So you've got an A&R person who seeks talent, who signs talent, and then works and coordinates the recording, brings in a producer, working with the artist. There are some acts who do not write, and the A&R person involved will, as I have done with artists like Celine Dion, find songs for them, and then you bring in various producers that are appropriate for the singer in that song. So the word A&R has changed considerably, but it's basically the person that searches for and works with the talent.
2 years later, and after a slight lineup change, Chester Bennington joined the band after the guys heard his vocal remix of one of their demos. He was so excited when they asked him to try out that he ran out of his own birthday party to go work on his demo. The band loved what he'd done and asked Chester to join the band. He soon left Arizona and jumped on the first plane to L.A.
The thing that we saw in Chester right away is that he's somebody who's been singing for his whole life, and I'm somebody who's been rapping my whole life, so that just felt really natural, you know. We spend a lot of time working on what we do.
For some reason, we like each other.
And he likes me a lot, and I can't stand him.
With the band lineup complete, the band changed their name to Hybrid Theory to celebrate their new look. The next few months, the guys worked hard on demos and sent them out to just about anyone who would listen. Lucky for them, it was Warner Brothers who had his ear glued to the stereo.
I think it's really tough. I think, like in the case of Linkin Park, I have a lot of respect for the fact that they've been able to stay on the top 20 charts for well over a year. That's huge, but one of the things Ben and I were talking about prior to you coming here is that they had a buzz prior to them even getting signed. And I think that's a huge thing in the industry. You start to hear, well, you've got to check out this Linkin Park band. They're going to be really great. They're going to be huge. So part of it is that it has the kid appeal anyway, but I think you're also being told that this is going to be big. And if they're hearing it on the radio and then they're seeing the MTV and they're liking the way they look, then you can milk it longer.
Well, in a general sense, to find an artist, it depends on the kind of music that you're working with. But in a general sense, to me, and I think we've gotten away, in this day and age, we've gotten away a lot from this. We have a tendency to jump on the quick trend and not really worry about the artist integrity part of it. But in truth, I still think there's a need for great artistry. And when you look for that, you're looking for someone who, or an artist or a band, who, in the A&R person's opinion, has the potential to be successful for a long period of time, has something special about them that stands out.
What kind of gimmicks can we do, right, to make people like our band? And the problem is, we couldn't come up with anything. So we're kind of forced just to play our songs.
The underground sort of grassroots viral sort of marketing, I think, is one way. And some of these bands, by the time they get signed, they already have a mailing list of 100,000 kids. So there's that way. But also, I think there's the old way, which is just being, you know, anointed for success by a major who can marshal these massive promotional resources behind you and sort of almost preordained to hit, especially among the teen market, I think.
Getting into the music industry is just, it's just one big test. You know, it's a test of everything. It's a test of your stamina. It's a test of how many times can you be rejected and still believe in yourself. It's a test of, you know, can you basically maintain your composure and not freak out and strangle someone who just jerked you over for tens of thousands of dollars. It's everything, you know. It's and you're never really at the top. You might think you're at the top, but I don't think anyone really is. If you're trying to break into the industry, it's just, you have to just believe in yourself and try to meet as many people as you can. Never give up. You know, I guess obviously there's some interest in what I'm doing. It means the world to me. Every little drop that anyone ever gives you a compliment, you just have to be as humble as you can be and just thank them. It doesn't matter how huge or rich or whatever you get, you have to maintain that same attitude and be as humble as you possibly can be. And just keep at it, persistence. That's it, I guess, really.
Yeah, you know, certain labels. Most labels you have in California, just because the whole philosophy in Southern California is just be able to show how much wealth you have and be able to live whatever American dream you may think there may be. But you know, for a label, most of the labels out here are just purely corporate labels that are in with the radio stations. They just want to play whatever's popular. You know what? They want to play whatever's the softest thing and whatever, what they call like corporate rock, and you have like NSYNC and all those little bands, they just copy each other and it's more like a stage show. And personally, I think that music should be more of a platform to be able to get a real message across. And you know, I just think that right now, with all the problems we have in the world and the United States, people should actually be saying something rather than just talking about nothing, like their girlfriend left them or something stupid.
There was a problem, though. Turns out there was another band called Hybrid Theory, so the guys had to come up with a new name. It was Chester who came to the rescue. He recalled how he used to drive past Lincoln Park in Santa Monica on his way to band practice. He really liked the name, and so did the other guys. With that, Lincoln Park was born. If you want people to know about you, you gotta have a website, man. It's here that your fans can learn all about you, listen to your music, and see those tour photos you wouldn't want to show your mom.
I definitely think so that way, because even for people younger than me, like, they like to look it up and see what's going on if they really like the band, and that way they're updated and they can see what's going on. And with tours, that's the best, to see like your favorite band like playing live.